Remember when kids had names like Jane, Joan, and Susan, John, Bobby, and Stewie? Commentator Patricia McLaughlin reflects on some of the changes in the name game.
When some friends of mine were pregnant a couple of years ago, we tried to talk them into calling the baby Wrigley, partly in honor of their Chicago roots and partly because their last name is Field. They wouldn't go for it. They wanted a family name. They just couldn't decide which one. The prospective grandfather got so tired of hearing about it, he suggested naming the kid after some useful household object with no family connections or upscale connotations or anything. Double boiler, for instance. Run into enough little girls named Tiffany and Brittany, and the unpretentiousness of double boiler starts to sound pretty good. It's also not a name a lot of other kids will have. I know a Caitlin who's in first grade this year. When she was born, her parents didn't want to call her Jennifer or Lisa like everybody else. They figured nobody but Dylan Thomas fans would think of Caitlin. And were they ever wrong? Their daughter keeps running into other six-year-old Caitlins. This used to happen more. Between 1600 and 1800, half the people living in English-speaking countries were named William, John, or Thomas, or Elizabeth, Mary, or Anne. You can tell their parents weren't heavily into originality, glamour, and stylishness. It's different today. You can't expect people who buy halogen lamps and designer bath towels to give their kids generic names. Rosalind Carter explained her name once by saying that in the South, poor people often felt like the only thing they had to give their children was a wonderful, romantic name. A couple of years ago, I met a lady in East Arkansas whose given name was Romeo Juliet. You can't get more romantic than that. I guess it's elitist, but I'd rather be named for a Shakespeare play than for a character on Dynasty or The Young and the Restless, not to mention a jewelry store. I mean, Tiffany's an okay name for a pop singer or a cocktail waitress, but what if the kid wants to do particle physics or arbitrage? Besides, soap opera names like Brittany and Jessica and Brooke are too old for little kids. It's everywhere, too. Now that Dallas is on TV all over the world, you can even run into little Sue Ellens in the Via Veneto. Wouldn't it be better to just name them after their grandmothers? Well, unless their grandmothers are named Bertha or Gertrude or Hortense. Actually, a lot of parents now seem ready to compromise. They're looking for names that are traditional, but still kind of cool. Irish couples are going for Aaron or Shannon or Sean. More upscale than plain old Kathleen and Kevin, but not as outright peculiar as, say, Columkill. You see the same thing with biblical names. Lots of Rebeccas, Adams, Davids, Joshuas, Jareds, and Jonathans. But not that many Hezekiahs or Ahabs, and hardly any Jezebels. But the coming thing looks like really ordinary names, almost as unglamorous as double boiler. Remember, Fergie and Prince Andrew named their daughter Beatrice, a grandmotherly name that's been out of style since the 1930s. I bet by the time the Lindsays and Brittanys and Tylers are in high school, their names will sound embarrassingly fancy and dated, and you know how constitutionally discontented high school girls are. They'll probably hate them.
Patricia McLaughlin is a syndicated columnist who writes about style for the Philadelphia Inquirer magazine.